And last time I began to open up with this, where we looked at the fact that Christians will be known by their prayer life. It says, by the fruit you will know them. And what is to be fruitful? Well, in my mind and in my thinking and in my understanding of theology, to be fruitful means you're also a man or woman of prayer. It is all part of it. And you know something? We get phone calls from time to time, even people who don't come to this church, asking for prayer. Asking for me to pray. Asking for the church to pray. Now, I take that as a privilege, but also a sign that God's telling us something. That he's put the blessing of prayer and the prayer of faith in this church. And people more and more will see this and turn to this, because they ain't getting it where they go. They're not being taught it where they go, because you have to be taught to pray. That's what I showed you last week. The disciples came to Jesus. They asked, teach us how to pray. They didn't ask, teach us how to preach. They asked for teaching how to pray. Why was that? Because the Holy Spirit was showing them that that's the key to this. It is the key to the greater works. It is the key to deliverance, healing, salvation. We say, but it's in the Word of God. Of course it's in the Word of God. But what must be backed with the Word of God? Prayer. This Word will only ever go forth to the degree and the amount that we are prepared to pray and get behind it. Do you know the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword? How is that sword sharpened? How does it maintain and keep that sharpened edge? By prayer. And how the devil knows it. But we don't always know it. And that's why we've got this title, Help Me With Prayer. The devil keeps many believers and churches paralyzed in praying, being led, that is, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, you've got prayers, you've got your prayer lists. But they're prayers that go no higher than the ceiling. No, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who has come to lead us and guide us, has also come to teach us how to pray. And when you mean business with that, and when you want that, oh yes, you'll see the other side of the enemy, because he'll have a go. He trembles when saints get on their knees and start praying. Praying, that is, the anointing by the Spirit. He hates that. And you know that because he tries to stop you. He tries to stop me. And he does it in any way you can imagine. We've suggested some of the ways he tries to stop you, but I'm sure you can even get up and give me something new where he's not worked that with me, but he's tried it with you. Why does he do it? Because he knows at times more than what you and I do. The power that's behind it. But I don't feel very anointed. I don't feel as though my prayers are getting anywhere. You have the Holy Spirit. You have those tongues as he's given to you. That's why Satan tries to stop the church from praying, interceding in tongues. They're all hung up on it. Oh, tongues isn't for today. Or not everybody speaks in tongues. Tongues is just for a few. Or tongues is to be interpreted. They are hung up on it. Failing to see. There are two anointings. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the sign is of it, you speak in tongues. The gift of tongues is another tongue, which is to be interpreted. Not everybody has that. And how the enemy's got them confused in it. And so they try to pray in their own strength, in their own ability, their own intellect. Little wonder the church is so ineffective. No, the Holy Spirit has come to teach us how to pray.
You cannot pray unless the Holy Spirit teaches you, anoints you, burdens you, leads you. Where does he lead you? He leads you to the intercessor, the high priest who's there praying and interceding. That's the role that Jesus has taken on. Out of all roles that he could have taken as a priest, and it wasn't just prayer. No, he took on that role of intercessor. Doesn't that tell us something? Of course it does. A believer, as I said last week, who truly loves the Lord will sustain his or her prayer life. Whether you go through a dry time, whether you don't feel like it, or whatever it is. Why do I say sustain prayer life? Because when you become aware you're not praying like you should be, or you're under attack, or the enemy's trying to keep you out of prayer, something within you is saying, Lord, please deal with this. Please keep me in prayer. Teach me how to pray. I have so much more to learn in this. That's how a believer will continue in prayer and under attacks, because he's asking the Holy Spirit to do it. And you don't ask in unbelief. You believe, you know God will help you and keep you in prayer. I've had to do it. There are times when just life seems to get so hectic, so busy, I don't seem to get the time. And I find myself calling out, Lord, please help me not to neglect this. It's vital. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gets me up at 4, 5 in the morning to pray. I count that as a privilege. All my flesh says, you're going to need your sleep. You've got a busy day ahead of you. You can't survive on 4 hours sleep a day. I just count it a privilege that if God gets me out of bed, I know my flesh doesn't feel like it, but you know he is always faithful. Some of the blessed times I have with God is when I get out early in the morning and he's just there. And I touch him. And I'm pressing in. And I have the privilege of praying, pressing in for those things that God places upon my heart. Why? Because I want it. Doesn't matter about me. It doesn't matter about my comforts or how it might affect me. And the joy of the Lord sustains me. And sometimes you will just find, there's the afternoon, maybe at 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Maybe I just sit down, have a cup of tea, half an hour, and in that time, I drop off. And I have 20 minutes of just sleep. And that's all I need. And I wake and I'm refreshed. So God supplies. He will do it. He will do it. He put first that kingdom. Why am I saying this? Because it's prayer being moved out of the comfort zone. And we don't always like that. There's going to come a time when there are going to be all night prayer meetings. They're coming. I know we talk about it. There's going to be times when the Lord's going to say, for those who want to, it'll be a day of prayer and fasting for the church. It's those that want it. And if you can't get to the church or you can't get to the meetings, you can still join us. Simply get the word around. You can hold that in prayer where you are or with your family. There's a way, there's will, there's a way. You see? It's because we're asking the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray. And he will do it. He will do it. Yes, we're being challenged. We're all being challenged this morning. We all bow our heads in shame. But this is why we're talking like we are. This is why we're asking the Holy Spirit to teach this church how to pray. I know it's impractical sometimes. I'm aware that we live distances and everything. But I'm still aware the Holy Spirit can do the same in all of us. If we can't all physically get together, we can still be in prayer even in our homes. and just joining in that burden as the Spirit leads us. We're praying and birthing certain things through. It can be done. God is practical. That is the point. It's whether we want this. And that's why I say the Holy Spirit is the only one who can teach us this. Romans 8:26, which I gave to you last week. He comes to make those groanings, those intercessions, those utterances. The Spirit comes. He births. He prays it through us. We're just those empty vessels being used by God. And so, that is what God, I believe, is wanting from us. You have to ask. So, where I left off last time, let's now look at scriptures, at what God is saying about prayer. And I want to lead into this again. Some of these I gave last time, but I want to give them again. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, and verse 1. And he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's the challenge. That is what Jesus is saying. Jesus has said that by his own experience. So we ought always to pray, to be in prayer, to be in that attitude of prayer, to be ready any time, any moment, to be in prayer as the Spirit would lead, whether at work, whether at home, whether at school, whether wherever. The Holy Spirit will work. He will do it through us. What is he saying? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. He says here, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In other words, heal the church. That's what it means today. My people who are called. So you have to be called. If you're not called, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to bother. So if you're called by my name, the name of Jesus, and you're prepared to humble yourself, to be teachable, to change, humble yourselves and pray, seek my face. That's always the motive of prayer, is always to seek Jesus in prayer. Why do you seek him? Because I've already said it. He is the intercessor, interceding. To seek my face, to seek me, and turn from their wicked ways. Now, why does he say, seek my face? Well, it's very interesting how Hebrew gives it. Because by the face of a person, you can tell a lot of the time, what is going on, how they're feeling. I can look at you and see whether you're sad, whether you're grieving, you're happy, angry, disappointed, at peace, all those things. The Holy Spirit says he's going to show us our Saviour's face and know how he feels to pray. That's what it means. But to get that, you have to humble yourself. That ain't going to just come. And I want to know. That to me is the power of prayer. That to me is when you're touching God. I often get before the Lord and say, Lord, how do you feel? What's going on in your heart today? Please impart that to me. I want to know what is going on with you. Because then I can pray. I can pray effectively. I can know. I can get my own mind, my own will, my own lusts, my own wants, my needs. I'm not interested in. I'm interested in you. And I wait on that. And he does. And he shows me. And he leads me. And he guides me. And yes, the devil's right there giving me hassle. But praise God. It is, the peace is, by faith, that rest, is when you're on track with God. And you know you've done everything you do to please him, to put him first, the kingdom first, whatever the devil's doing, that peace is there. There's the assurance. You see? Because he says it there. He's saying to Israel, seek me. Seek my face. Humble me. I want to tell you, you need to know what is on my heart. Isaiah 2, come now, let us agree. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Come, let us talk, let us agree. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. He, God, has come to show, to impart this. So how often then do I pray? I've already touched on this, alluded on this. You know, we raise this question, and we do raise it, with regard to our lives, our commitments, our families, everything. You know, how do we pray? How much do I pray? What does God want from me? Well, let's turn to the scriptures. Psalm 55, verse 17. Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Well, you say, my word, that is going to have to be God then, for me. Well, praise God, it is. That's what we're trying to get over. You've said nothing that is any great revelation. Well, that's going to have to be God, because that's exactly what it will have to be. Amen? That's why, help me with prayer. Teach me, Lord. And he will, because he's a God of miracles, is he not? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Ephesians 6 and verse 8. Ephesians 6 and verse 8, knowing that whatever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I think I've got that wrong.
18.
It's 18, sorry. 18, I'm so sorry. Ephesians 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. Prayer. Supplication. In the Spirit. That's what we were doing today. We were doing for those widows. Seeking God. Supplicating. Praying always. Ready. In that attitude. Get a phone call. Will you pray? Will you stand with me? You're ready straight away. You'll do it. And so on. This is what it means. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Always be in that attitude of prayer. Ready the moment you wake up. That's what it means. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that man pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Do you know, sometimes when I pray, I have to lift those hands. There's just something, you can say it's an emotion, a feeling, but sometimes when I get in prayer and I lift them up, there's a breaking through. What is it doing? It's helping me to pray without unforgiveness and doubting. It's a deliverance. Sometimes hands up is a sign of surrender. I give in. Overcomers, the Lord shows me, with regard to God helping us to pray, overcomers will be sustained by their prayer life. What the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Do you want to be an overcomer? Do you want to be ready for the rapture? Then you are going to be sustained. You will be a wise virgin, because you will be a man or woman of prayer. Foolish virgins were not that faithful in prayer. They lacked. Psalm 109, verse 4. Psalm 109 and verse 4. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. That's what the psalmist says. Right under that cry for judgment, vengeance upon his enemies and everything, yet he says, I give myself unto prayer. That would have made a good title, wouldn't it? I give myself unto prayer. Well, that's something you can think about and maybe pray with God on, that I give myself to you, Lord, for prayer. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Isn't that wonderful? Let me read this again. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Who's he speaking about? He's speaking about a remnant in the last days, even Gentiles. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. So do you want to be a joyful people? Well, then prayer is going to help you with this. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Sacrifices, your works, your labor of love, your works are accepted because you have a prayer life. And it's appropriated by faith. It's all there. Jesus used the same thing in Luke 19, 46, casting out the moneylenders. My house is a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves and iniquity. You corrupted it. That's what they'd done because they had lost sight of prayer. They no longer are asking God to teach them to pray. And that's what happens. When God's house doesn't pray, it becomes a den of iniquity. That's what happens to it. That's what happens to it. Many of those churches in Asia Minor, spoken of in Revelation, a lot of where those churches went wrong and went into judgment because they lost sight of prayer. How do I know? Because God was finding fault with them. And the only way those faults were going to be corrected was to humble themselves and to seek God in prayer. And the only church that ever took notice of that and does today is the Philadelphian church. Weak, small, ineffectual, naturally speaking, to the world. And yet that is the church that remains faithful. Amen. That prays.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Luke 6, verse 12. We're still dealing about being sustained by a prayer life, having the attitude of prayer, being ready to be used anytime, anywhere, any day, any moment. Jesus experienced exactly the same in Luke 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Here it is, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And some of you again say, well, that'll have to be God. Well, of course it is. And that is why, help me, Lord, with my prayer life. You will, if you want that. Not because you've achieved something. Wow, I prayed through the night. That's not what it's about. You've missed it. Jesus prayed through the night simply because of his prayer and what he was praying and praying through and the burden and everything. It took all night. That's why. He didn't go there saying, right, I'm going to pray all night to you, Father. No. The need of that prayer and praying took all night. And it will with you. Sometimes you just won't be able to get away from God's presence and you will find that it's 3, 4 in the morning because the need was there to pray it through. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Here is the story where Peter is released from the prison. A miracle. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. The burden was to pray without ceasing. They kept with it. Now, we don't know how long that was. We don't quite know exactly how it took place. But all we know was the Spirit was with them and they would just had to keep praying and keep with it. Maybe some had to go and leave because they had to look after the children or whatever it was. But they still kept in that attitude of prayer. The point was they prayed without ceasing till it was done. It was done. And that's what we may have to do by getting the word round. And to keep in that prayer, to keep in those tongues, praying it through till it's done. The miracle is achieved. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that to be so for our sister Mary Louise. That is something God shows me. To be in an attitude as saints, as a church, to be in prayer without ceasing for that sister. For God to do what he's doing in and through her. I know it's there. You can think about that one. And you can ask God whether you want to take on that burden. And if you do, then ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to do it. Because you can't do it in your own strength. But God can do it through us. Because what is going to be needed for that sister? A miracle. Amen. And finally, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts, minds on Jesus in deliverance from the enemy. Is your mind still attacked? Do you find you sometimes just lose the victory there? There it is. There it is. Don't be anxious. But in everything, and the key is prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there we are. That is prayer for you. So there you are. God hasn't left you out. Prayer for you. But he says, in everything and with thanksgiving, let all of it be known unto God. Dialogue, communication, fellowship. I had the privilege of talking to somebody yesterday who's didn't take long as we were sharing and talking, that just that anger there was with God. Frustration brought to the end of himself. I said, have you talked this out with God? Oh, you can't talk like that, whatever. I said, why not? I do. Looked at me aghast. I said, I've nobody else to turn to. If I can't talk to my Heavenly Father, and no, I'm not coming to him being flippant, rude, that's not what I'm talking about. But if I can't bear my heart out, my anger, my frustration which I've had, and yes, I'm ashamed to say, my anger and disappointment towards God. If I can't talk that out with him, then I can't talk it out with anyone. Because he knows anyway. And it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing me into his presence to be real and honest with him. Anyway. That is what it means. And you know, when you do, and when you just pour it out before God, it's like a burden is lifted from you. It does. And it's like he says, I understand. I do know what you're going through. That is why he's an intercessor. He mediates between us and God for that very purpose and reason. He knows you've got anger. He knows you're disappointed. He knows you're angry toward him. And thank God the Holy Spirit draws you to be able to get the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of that. That's the blessing of it. Help me with my prayer. Well, my friends, he'll do it if you want it. I know he's done it and he's doing it for me. And I know he can and he will do it for you. And it's important for this church. God wants this church a house of prayer. Because when we really get this right, then we're going to really see that word as a sword and how powerful and sharp it is. But the sharpness of this word, which we are so, so blessed with, will only go as sharp as we're prepared to get behind it with prayer. To be a house of prayer. That is the key to this. That is what is going to make an overcomer. That is what will get the bride ready, prepared to meet the bridegroom for the rapture. Will it not? Amen. Father, we thank you for the good news of your word. Lord, we thank you again that we're all guilty in this church. We've all failed this, Father, miserably. We've all at times put our own self, our own little kingdom, our own wants, our own houses first. But Lord, it is your house. And your house, as you've shown us, is a house of prayer. And Father, forgive us that we have failed in this. Father, have mercy upon us. We want the Holy Spirit to teach us to pray. We want, Father, to look upon your heart, your face, and to know what is there, and to pray whatever is there, whatever you're showing, whatever you're feeling, whether you're hurting, whether you're rejected, whether you're persecuted, whatever. We want to understand that. We want to be touched by that, by the Holy Spirit, that we can intercede, pray, supplicate that through. But all the while self is there and I'm hurting and what about me, we can never fully understand. And Lord, you've told us not to be anxious. For Lord, you meet all our needs, our everyday needs. We're not even to be concerned about it. Lord, help us to get this right. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for our meeting, our gathering together unto you. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep not only the assembly but all those who have listened this morning. Keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptation, from the enemy who tries to go around and roar like a lion. Cause and work that all may be overcomers to triumph. Lord, we thank you for this. For greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, we praise you that we are not being taught by flesh and blood in these last days, but we are being taught by the Holy Spirit. And for that, we're truly grateful and thankful. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.